You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, here we are. It's election day, and people are going to the polls, driven largely by economic issues. And we've got somebody on who's talking about economics of real estate, but in a way you might not be familiar with. Sabrina Guler is with us now. She started a fund, TechVestor, which invests in short-term rentals, raised $21 million in the past 12 months, now going on to the second fund. Sabrina, it's great to have you on the show. Glad you're on. You can answer some questions that I have about the market. For short-term rentals, primarily Airbnb, VRBO, do you use any other platforms to rent out your properties?
Thanks for having me, by the way. No, currently we are just primarily on Airbnb and VRBO.
Okay. So how many properties does the fund own right now?
So right now we have 61 total. 30 of them are under contract, being designed, furnished, in that process of getting listed and launched. And we have 31 active listings live on Airbnb.
Cool. And are you buying them for cash, or are you using the proceeds of the fund to basically help leverage them up?
We're leveraged. In some scenarios, we bought cash, but we're primarily leveraged.
What kind of leverage are you using?
It's actually a it's considered a commercial loan. There are very few lenders that provide commercial loans for Airbnbs, but it's based off the projected rental income.
Okay. So obviously they're not 80-20 or 90-10. You're probably closer to 50-50 or 70-30, generally commercial 70-75%.
70-30, 65, around there.
All right. But still helps helps boost the return on equity for sure. So what is the key to managing large numbers of vacation rentals? Because unlike being a traditional landlord where you rent out an apartment or a house or whatever to a tenant on a longer term basis, vacation rentals require quite a bit more labor intensiveness. You're going to have higher repair bills. You're going to have bills for linens, maids, cutting the grass, all these types of things. How do you manage this all?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So Seif and I, he's the other half of the business. We both co-founded TechVestor. I run all of the operational side of the business. So furniture, design, management, revenue management, property management. When we first started the business, we tried to set a bar for the types of homes that we were buying. That's actually really key in management. A two condo in an HOA building is very different from a five bedroom, four bath with a yard, a pool, a dog park. And so we focus on the larger homes with a lot of amenities. So you could say that property management is definitely an adventure. We could probably have a mini TV show on the stories and the experiences that we've had with guests. I think the key thing is to have really good people on the ground, people who know your house really well. One thing when you own short-term rentals is to, unlike multifamily where you can buy a property and you're just focusing on washer dryers and making sure that the utilities work, with Airbnb, people use every crevice of your home. They use the washers, they use the dryers, they put makeup on your towels, the dog pees on the carpet. We're pet friendly as a fund. So I think it's to really have people that understand your expectations, have checklists, and make sure that everything is checked. All of our homes have ping pong tables, foosball tables. We're a game friendly home. We encourage entertainment in our homes. So, outside of the typical cleaning routines, like turning linens and all of that, we also have to check for the little things to make sure that, you know, from each guest, the experience is the same across the board from a quality perspective.
Hey, so are you cash flow positive now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What kind of return on equity are you looking for?
So in Q3 of this year, we were trending towards a 9% cash on cash return. We still have Q4. So, in September and October, we've had our best revenue to date. So we're targeting anywhere between a 10 and 12% return for the year.
Okay. So, I'm intrigued by the concept. Obviously I've thought about it myself. Hey, there's been times where business wasn't great. I said, I'll just Airbnb out my house and I'll make more money Airbnb-ing than what I was doing then, but I never quite bit the bullet. Sorry, I didn't. I have a lot of friends in the space here. What's your final goal here? You want to take this public? You want to, do you have an exit plan or is it just to grow organically over time? What's your goal?
So that's ironic that you're asking, because we just planned our goals for next year as a company. I think there's a few ways that we could take this. I mean, from a fund perspective, our whole time, we were looking at around 5 years, 5 to 7 years. Obviously we are paying attention to the market first to see what that looks like. But we're looking to grow the next year. So we have another fund coming up starting in December. And we plan on scaling our operational side of the business, entering new markets, and yes, we're in it for the long ride.
Okay, so amenities, which is all part of marketing, right? So fun houses, pet friendly families. What's your average stay, and do you have a minimum?
Our average stay is probably around 4 or 5 days. We are a portfolio in the sense that our target house, like what we buy, is similar across the board in the Poconos, Pennsylvania versus Scottsdale, Arizona. But our homes, the criteria of our design and our focus is different. For example, in Scottsdale, you have golf, you have the Super Bowl this year, you have a lot of bachelorette parties. So we have more novelty homes where you have themed houses and really funky, you know, hot pink cabinets. We attract that type of stay, which usually those people, that crowd is staying on the weekend. So it's like a Thursday through Sunday. And then when you have a cabin-esque environment like the Poconos, which attracts the New Yorker who wants to, you know, maybe work from home for the week, we'll have a longer stay. So it depends on the market, but it's around 5 days.
Okay, that's cool. So you mentioned several of your geographic locations, Poconos, Scottsdale. What other places are you looking at?
We are in Clearwater, Florida. We are in West Palm Beach. We experimented in Memphis. We have a couple properties in Blue Ridge, Georgia, which is like the mountain side of there. And we are in Branson, Missouri. So, you know, I think when we first started, we went vertically deep. And that was, you know, for the reason of scaling our business, because things are obviously, you know, economies of scale. It's cheaper to hire the same designer, the same cleaner over and over again. But as we diversified our fund, we started getting into new markets. As we scaled the business, we started, it allowed us to go in new markets and operate the same way that we would in the first markets that we you know, open shop in.
So you're kind of posturing yourself to be the BlackRock of vacation rentals, I guess, right? What's the biggest challenge you face here?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base, with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and resource capital funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
So I think our challenges a year ago were and are very different now. I think a lot of people think that money is the answer when you get into hospitality related real estate. It is not the same. I think a lot of investors ask us, you know, what's your occupancy? Because in multifamily, occupancy is weighed, you know, highly, whether it's in short-term rentals, it's not, right? You can have an incredible asset that gives you 20% cash on cash a year, but it's only occupied 55%, right? Like Big Bear, California. I think our challenge was to grow the business. If you actually look at house flipping and design is outside of Airbnb, there's not like a nationwide flipper. Otherwise, everyone would be using nationwide flippers, right? Or like construction companies, at least that pencil, that makes sense. So we had to vertically build everything. And I think laying that foundation to know like, hey, we can't rely on other people to build our company for us. We can't just plug and play like you would with a multifamily investment. You just get a really good, an operational company, plug them in, property management, 7% to 9% in PM fees and call it a day. We had to build everything. So I think that was really difficult to make sure that we set quality, we set procedures, we hired the right people, we trusted people in markets. I think I was on a plane 2 or 3 times a month in every market just to make sure that all of our homes were exactly what we wanted them to be. And I think scaling the initial part of the business was really difficult. We're actually in a really good place now. We've been around for a year and a half and people trust us. We trust them. We've built relationships to make sure that people have the right intentions and keep the quality of our homes high. But I think scaling will always be something, especially in a heavy operational business. There's always high turnaround. People get sick, people get COVID, the holidays come up, people have personal goals. So it's very different than a SaaS business or something where you're depending on someone just sitting in front of a computer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, much more complicated. Like I say, you need boots on the ground, a lot more of them. And, you know, for maid service, all of this, do you ever anticipate setting up your own rental platform, software platform, so you can kind of bypass the Airbnb VRBO middlemen?
So we've thought about having some kind of a platform for direct bookings. It's not our bread and butter. We have a great relationship with Airbnb and we've kind of already accepted it into our business model. But I do think that there are risks to heavily relying on a platform like them. So I think that's something that we plan to dig deeper in the future, but it's not a major priority right now.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people thought they could get money from YouTube for the rest of their lives, just creating content. And, you know, when that's your business model, where you're kind of bootstrapping onto an existing platform, you know, there's definitely a risk involved there. So alternative booking platforms. Like, what about Booking.com? They do vacation rentals. I think that every travel site is getting into vacation rentals now, aren't they?
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of platforms grow. There's also some niche ones, too. There's the Plum Guide. They're like the luxury version of this. They consider themselves to be the Michelin version of Airbnb. We've actually experimented with a couple platforms, but our clientele, the family, the 5-bedroom with the dog and the kids, they are on Airbnb. We convert higher than VRBO. So we just kind of stay with what works.
Yeah. Hey, you got to stay with what works. And they're not, as far as when you look at all these gig economy sites and such, they're not taking that big a cut compared to others, are they?
No, definitely not.
So one thing that I've seen Airbnb people get tripped up on, especially here in Florida, is use taxes, sales tax, resort fees that each county in Florida has the right to charge an occupancy tax on vacation rentals and such. And for a while, at least, Airbnb wasn't even tracking this. You know, they were oblivious to it. But so accounting, obviously, in this situation, really important, isn't it?
Very important. We have an entire finance team that focuses on permitting, tax laws. We use Avalara, you know, regulation. Airbnb does have a decent partnership with local government and regulation and all that. So they actually pose that on the guest rather than on us. And they try to work with the counties on an individual level. But we definitely make sure that we keep up with all that. And every state and every city is very different.
Yep, this is true. Well, hey, I think we covered a pretty good swath there. People want to find out more about what you're doing, Sabrina. How do we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can go to techvestor.com and book a call with our team.
All right. Excellent. Hey, if you got a question for Sabrina, you can always send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. Make sure you go to the site. You'll see the link in the show notes of this interview to get to techvestor.com. And while you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. Appreciate your coming on, Sabrina, and we'll follow you, and good luck with the business.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.